What's up, my nipples? You're all my nipples now.
You all belong to me.
You all belong to my flesh. Together, we make the three nipples of Mark Wahlberg.
So disappointing. What,
you didn't like that one?
So disappointing.
Well, I was going to go with what's flicking my nips, but...
Yes, that was better.
Yeah, I would have loved that.
I felt like I've heard it somewhere before. I didn't want to, like, tread on anything. Like,
okay.
I was like, where did I get that from? And I could not, like, separate it. So I didn't... I mean, I ended up saying it anyway, but I was like, I'm not claiming it as my own. So...
Okay.
But it was that or... dick tips. So
okay, dick tips.
I'm a big fan of calling people dick tips. So
what about, like, you know, like what's sucking my teats?
Oh, that would have been good.
That's a great one.
Okay, well, yeah, missed opportunity.
Reform everything. And you know what I've been doing though, like in the descriptions for the episodes on, you know, Spotify and Apple Podcasts and whatever, I've just been saying like, hey, all you fellow time travelers.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
That's great.
Like so that. So we can call our fans like the time travelers.
Time travelers. Yeah, I like that. Okay. Other than that, I mean, bringing in the intro, it's kind of hard. I mean, it's like it's a lot of load for one person over here. So, you know, sorry.
They're all like fans of time traveling. Like, what's up, all you fellow Lake House fans?
Lake House. Is that the Keanu Reeves movie?
Yeah, and Sandy Bullock.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Lifelong friends.
Mm-hmm.
Through time and space.
Well, they did Speed together. Not the drug, the movie.
Yes, maybe they did Speed. I don't know. I don't know Sandy's personal life. Keanu Reeves too slow to ever be on Speed. Like,
that was like a joke on the set. Like, hey, we're doing Speed today.
Yeah. You'd probably get old very quickly.
Yeah.
Cool. So I have finally a non-work-related annoyance.
Yay. And
hopefully this is not just me. But okay, so this could just be because I'm a lot older than I am, like I'm in my head, but I absolutely cannot stand the youths of today and their slang. Like, mm-hmm. Fucking stupid words that they come up with to describe things. Like, no, I'm not even gonna, like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, yeah, saying things are fire is fucking stupid, but like saying that, like, things clap. And something's hard, or like, instead of saying like, oh, I'm good, I'm straight, I didn't ask if you're fucking gay. Like, the words that they fucking use just drive me nuts. And I just picture the dumbest fucking hypebeast sitting in a room contemplating what fucking generic word can I apply to this song. Oh, fucking claps, like a booty. Like, yeah, that's good. That's good. It's fucking awful.
I just learned like 5 new words. Well, 5 new slang words at least.
Yeah, okay. But okay, I guess like you haven't heard them enough to be annoyed by them. But
I had a text thread with an old coworker that just it went over every new word she heard that day. Where it was like, hey, this is a new one, because she works with a lot of young people too. Or as Cody put it, youths, which yes. I think is hilarious.
Youths. I hate them.
yeah, a lot of them were. I mean, I get it, but at the same time, like, my slang, okay, Cody, I have a slang word for you that we used to use that'll sound super stupid when I say it out loud.
It probably is, yeah.
Do you remember sick mosh?
Oh, well, yeah, yeah. It's literally still my email.
Like, yeah, yeah. We used to say sick mosh.
Yeah.
People did sick moshes at hardcore shows.
But I mean, that was specifically related to us, like, when we were at the show, like, I feel
and
like,
and it was a parody of that too.
Yes, it was a parody of that, and yeah. Like, and I'm not saying that, like, yeah, I'm not saying like other slang isn't stupid. Like, don't be wrong, I'm sure like to every previous generation, it's all bad. But like, I just feel like today, it's just like, it's just they'll say any fucking word to describe anything, and then somehow it just catches on. Like the first time I heard ratchet, I was like. And I always just look like a fucking 80-year-old when people say it for the first time. I'm like, heh? Like, and they're like, you know, or the first, okay, I remember the first time I ever, some guy came in to my store and I was like, hey man, how's it going? And he's like, oh, I'm straight. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I literally didn't know what I just walked away and I was like, oh, that, okay, weird.
Do you think they're saying it as much in jest that we did when we said those kind of things? Do you think it's a joke to them too? Because that's maybe something that's not translating.
I don't know, maybe, but like the kids that I have, like my associates, like who are really, really into that, like that culture, that's their generation. Like they say it with all seriousness in the world.
Okay.
And like
a lot of conviction.
Yeah, it's literally how they're describing things, and I'm like, you sound like a moron. Like grow when, up.
When you guys went out and ate at a really good restaurant, did you say sick nosh?
Sick nosh? No, but I wish.
Mark, that took a while, but I love it.
I mean, I thought of it immediately, and I let you two out the rest of.
But wait, Mark, do you not come across any of this? Like, you don't hear any of these words? Like, I feel like New York would be the epicenter. Like,
it probably is, but I think this is the, now that I'm like out of retail, I'm not encountering youths as frequently as I once was.
Yeah, Mark works with other adults, Cody.
That's true. Okay, fair enough. The elderly.
I mean, gotcha. Adults is like a loose term to apply to the people I work with, but I think ultimately I don't hear it anywhere near as much, but I do know that it is getting sillier, I agree that I hear people say things, and to be honest with you, I'm too afraid to repeat them myself, because I don't know what is offensive, and I don't know what, you know, there's a lot of slang words typically are very within culture, right?
So True.
There's certain slang words that, you know, we all know that as white people we just shouldn't say. So I'm terrified of saying something wrong.
True. No, that's a fair point. I base mine based off of like any white kid that I have working for me. If he says it, like it must be okay. Like, I kind of just based off that. I'm still not gonna say it, but
if you wanna collapse this, you know, this hierarchy, Cody, all you have to do is start repeating it.
I do. Oh, I do. It's freaking hilarious. Like, I'll randomly just throw one out, but I say it in the most, awkward way that I possibly can. Like, I act like everyone's dad who doesn't know what the word means, and then everyone gets really uncomfortable, and I'm like, you back to work.
You can kill a slang word per day if you apply for
I try to. I definitely attempt to, but these youths are resilient.
Yeah, new slang words are a house of cards. Topple very, very. I just remember back in the day, I used to say that everything was boss.
Yeah. Okay. Were you a big Cake Boss fan?
No, that was just, it was like the best. It was if something was boss.
No, yeah. I mean, like, I'm sure, like, you know, like CJ brought up, like, you know, we all have slang that we use. Like, even saying things are cool is slang.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, it's a different way of a different kind of descriptor that isn't traditional. So it automatically becomes slang. It's just like, I feel like in our generation, like, things like saying like cool or sick or like rad, like, that's like, I don't know. I feel like it's like globally accepted slang that is like timeless. And then like coming up with freaking dumb words like claps or cop or fire. Like, it's like every freaking super generic rapper that never makes it to a sophomore album. Like, it has no longevity.
Cop's the one where you're gonna like, we're gonna purchase something, right? Like, I'm gonna cop those.
Yes, which literally took a conversation with me and an LP director to realize it wasn't stealing.
I can only imagine that conversation.
Oh, it was pretty as much as you'd think it went. Yeah.
to be a fly on the wall, huh? Gee whiz.
It was literally me thinking, I was like, what's going on with they're trying to steal everything, right? He's like, no, it means they're gonna buy it. I was like, I don't think so.
It was like season 4 of True Detective. Just Cody and the LP director. They're stealing, right? That's what that means.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all copping things. Like, I don't know, because like when I hear cop, I think cop a feel, which means you're gonna steal a feel of that titty. Like so I immediately relate it to thievery.
I guess it is stealing a feel, isn't it?
Yeah, you're gonna cop a feel. Like, you're not buying the titty.
I'm so glad you're married, Cody. I'm so glad.
I would be a beggar on the street if I wasn't.
I think Chicago wrote a song about this. I think it was called More Than a Feeling.
There you go. Great song.
Yeah. All right. Well, I thought that was going to be a big one. Apparently, you guys don't feel the same way about it as I do.
No, Cody, that intro was fire, bro.
Yeah. Oh, sick. Okay.
You're welcome.
I was just, I wasn't expecting Mark to like not hear these as much as other people. And I expected CJ to be more passionate about the hatred I have for it, but apparently not.
Well, I mean, okay. So let me put it this way. I think the biggest lesson I've learned when it comes to working with younger people, which I don't really like, the current team I work with isn't that young.
True.
The one beforehand, very young. And yeah. I think the biggest lesson I learned was staying out of it is so much easier than trying to wrap my head around what they're talking about.
True.
And, you know, smiling and nodding is just an easier solution to everything.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. Like,
it's there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to rain on their parade, which is even if I said rain on their parade, they'd probably be like, okay, old man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They probably have a whole new phrase for that now.
I do get where you are coming from. I did ask, I asked my girlfriend, if WAP was a genre of music.
Yeah.
Oh, the wet ass pussy genre?
Yeah.
I thought it encompassed a genre. I didn't think that it was, I'd never heard the song.
It actually might now, but.
Because there's trap music, so there's probably WAP music.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to explain to Brenda what it was because she just started saying it one day thinking it was funny. I was like, duh, duh, duh. Do you know what that means? She's like, no. And I'm like, don't say that.
Yeah. It's the three pinnacle trap, rap, and WAP, right?
I don't like I don't even like saying WAP because like, to me, it's too close to the racial slur.
Mm-hmm. And,
I just feel
yeah,
like I'm way too close to saying that with a drawn out vowel. Like,
I didn't even put that together until you mentioned it, Cody. That's crazy. Yeah.
Like, so I just never, like, the second I started to hear that, I thought everyone was just being a freaking bigot, and I was just like, ugh. But, yeah, I just don't, like, that one's too close for me. Like, I'm not a fan. And it's, yeah, so.
No, just wet-ass pussies. No big deal.
Just wet-ass pussies, okay. All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back. Okay, bye.
Lit.
Fire, bro. Okay, now I hit it. Okay, we're back.
Okay, before we start, More Than a Feeling was a song by Boston, not Chicago. So.
Oh, it was.
Oh, okay. Thank you. The masses were going to be everyone around the world.
Yeah, since Mark's on the podcast now, I have to fact check my fucking self.
I know. Well, I didn't catch that one.
We're all just, I mean, I know it, I would have never even fucking known. Like...
Chicago had sang the song about the isn't it the woman's name?
Roxanne?
No, that was the police.
That's police, yeah.
I honestly thought Chicago was
just Sting? Is Roxanne just Sting or is it the police?
No, it was the police.
It's the police, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry, everybody. Sorry.
I thought Chicago was just a play or something, or a musical.
Well, I'd rather get a band or two wrong and have Mark on here full time. So I think it's an even trade.
Okay, fair enough.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate. Wait, no. Chicago. If you leave me now, that's what
take away the biggest part of me. Is that
yes,
them?
That was.
Isn't Chicago the one that got famous? Like, if you played the record backwards, it was like a message from Satan too.
No, that was the Beatles.
That was definitely the Beatles. Yeah.
Yeah. And it said like Paul McCartney is dead if you played it backwards.
Supposedly. He is dead. He's been a different person. He's been a different person for decades.
We we can't go down this path.
He looks similar, Cody.
I look similar to Paul McCartney?
No. The Paul McCartney looks similar to himself as a younger person.
Well, that's the whole point. Yeah, I mean, it's a doubleganger. They replaced him.
Wow.
Did you say doubleganger?
Doppelganger.
Okay.
What?
I thought you said doubleganger, and I was like,
I don't know, maybe I did on accident, but I know it's doppelganger.
That's a category on Pornhub.
A double gangbanger?
Yeah. No, you know that whole thing. Yeah, he died years ago, and like they replaced him to keep the band like original. Like,
but it's so funny you should say this, because this kind of brings things full circle. Because when you and CJ were doing Redacted, and I was like listening every week, so jealous that you guys had a podcast, and I pitched an idea to CJ that I could do a guest episode with you guys, and CJ asked me what would be the conspiracy theory that you would want to debunk or whatever, and I said it would be the Paul McCartney fake death.
Oh, I didn't know that. Did we not cover that one?
Well, no, I'm pretty sure right after he said it, I turned around and just said, no thanks.
I mean, I don't know. I think he's dead. Also, he's an asshole, so I don't really fucking care. So,
wow. It's all coming out.
Yeah. What are you? Are you a fan of Sir Paul McCartney?
I don't think. Has he done anything grossly
wrong?
Pretty
sure he hit his wife. Yeah. Like,
oh, did he? Oh, well, yeah. That's not good.
Yeah.
Poor Linda.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I heard that somewhere. Who knows? I don't know.
Didn't like Phil Collins hit his wife too?
I think you're thinking of Phil Spector.
Phil Spector, I think, shot a person.
Yeah.
Phil Spector shot his wife.
He shot, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
Phil Collins seems like a very nice person.
It's weird how I got punching somebody and shooting somebody confused, but okay.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, that's like you. Yeah.
Listen, wouldn't put it past me.
Okay. We're talking about... I guess another British person. Little Cecil Rhodes. Cecil Rhodes. I'm going to call him Cecil because it makes him sound like more of a dork.
Yeah. Cecil Rhodes.
Cecil Rhodes. So this guy, yeah, is ultimately, I put down just a few like key descriptors of him. The monopoly guy of diamonds, the owner of his own country, the prime minister of the Cape Colony, the founder of his own university, the founder of his own scholarship, all around just like racist piece of shit. Born July 5th, 1853, as a weak, sickly, little asthmatic dork. And I think it's really fitting. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's 100% a fact, but I feel like every true monster is born as a weak, sickly, little asthmatic.
Right.
And then becomes like a fucking just festering garbage pile.
Well, Cody, imagine like I'm a guy from the back of the crowd right now and just yelling, what's his star sign?
Oh, I was gonna look it up and I forgot. What's his star sign?
I don't know.
Oh, you didn't look it up? What are you guys looking up real quick? CJ, look it up.
Okay.
It's your
thing. Was about to say that based on your theory there, Cody, I'm probably 15 years away from being a festering piece of human garbage. Because I was born as a weak, sickly, asthmatic dork.
I 100% right there too. I was asthmatic, scarlet fever, little fucking nothing.
Like, I was like born in an iron lung. I just came out in one.
Yeah, no, I'm right there. I was bad at sports, sick all the time, couldn't breathe. Like,
perfect. That's why the three of us are on this podcast.
I am about a half a decade away from like just buying a country, apparently. So,
I'm right there with you, fellas. I think my sperm used a shiv on the way to the into the way the ovum, because there's no way I should be alive compared to those other sperm. But he was a cancer, by the way.
Oh, he's definitely a cancer on the planet. I think that's very fitting.
Yeah, he's a scourge.
He's scourge. So also, not unlike all other fucking giant pieces of shit, but like right on par with like any other majorly influential rich white supremacist, there's statues and busts of him everywhere. he's just completely glorified, like, all over Oxford, because he went to school there for a fucking 1 year, and fucking is just, yeah, like, you cannot get away from this motherfucker. Which is super annoying. There's a lot of petitions now to have his statues and shit removed, but, like, I think there's literally, like, on the room, like, his dorm or whatever at Oxford where he lived, there's, like, a plaque with his fucking face on it, which is, like, just really fucking annoying. But so where this starts, kind of his history before all this is really brief. But he starts off with a lot of, like, religious influence. His father was a vicar, which I kind of,
like,
don't
a priest, right?
Yeah. Okay. So being a vicar, I looked up, is basically a job title of you're living vicariously for someone else. You're working vicariously for someone else. Like, he was, like, a stand-in priest or something. Like, it's almost like a substitute.
Mark, can you weigh in on this? That's a strong British term, though, right?
Typically, it depends on the branch of Christianity that your particular church practices, as to whether you're given the title of vicar or priest. I think vicar is more synonymous with Church of England in general. Mm. Like, I would say, the vicar gave a sermon today, but then if it was more of a if it was a different branch of Christianity within the UK, you might say priest, but that's my understanding of it.
Okay, an associate priest,
kind of, but he would still, like, deliver the sermon and hold the service and do a funeral and do a wedding, like, they all of the same kind of responsibilities, I guess.
Yeah, well, what's that term for an actor where, like, if somebody is on Broadway and a stand-in, something like that, maybe
understudy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it maybe just, kind of that.
Yeah, maybe it is, like, it could have been, like, a mistranslation, because, like, when I clicked on vicar, because I didn't know what exactly that was, like, it went directly to that link of, like, vicarious, like, working vicariously, like, for someone, and I was like that's not what I thought it was. I thought it was a priest. So that was kind of weird, but I mean, it makes sense. You're like, what you like described makes sense too. So, and it falls in line too, because his initial first dreams were he wanted to become a priest. Like, that was, like, his like childhood dream. Like, he wanted to, like, work, you know, be part of the church. And he also had, like, a huge, like, eventually be a clergyman. He also had this huge passion for, like, planting trees and, like, agriculture. So, like, young Cecil, awesome, like, literally want to be a church and, like, save the rainforest. Older Cecil says fuck the rainforest and just burns the house down. But yeah, those are just, like, it was just weird that, like, those were his early passions. So, like, we already established, like, he had asthma. This got kind of, like, played upon a lot. Like, he was, like, just constantly talked about just being weak and, like, not really able to do much. So his parents started to think that he might have tuberculosis, which I was like,
that's like Doc Holliday style.
Yeah, but, like, he didn't have tuberculosis. Like, they were just like, oh, this fucker can't breathe. Like, maybe he has TB. So they just, like, that was their reasoning for sending him to South Africa. The whole reason we even have this story is because his parents thought he had TB, and it was common within the family, but it was also common around the globe that everyone was getting TB because they didn't understand it, and it just fucking spreads. So to me, it sounds like a pretty good way to ditch a kid that can't fucking play baseball or something. Like, that's my guess. So cricket, this kid sucks at cricket and he can't run to first, or is it bases? What do you have in cricket?
Wickets.
Should we stop the podcast right here and, like, go back and fuck up his parents instead?
Exactly. Yeah. Fucking assholes. But to contradict that little theory, they had other kids. Like, he wasn't an only child. He had three older siblings, two of which were able, like, their parents sent to college. They did great. One of them was sent to the military. They had careers. They could have genuinely just been concerned. And one of the common thoughts back then during TB was that the climate could help you. It's why a lot of people were sent to, you know, over in America, a lot of people were sent to these, like, I don't want to call them, but they weren't hospitals, but they weren't like resorts, but they would have like mansions in the Colorado Rockies that would, the air was supposed to be helpful. So his father thought that, you know, the sea voyage would help, and like being in the Cape Colony down by the ocean, not the fact that you're already on a fucking island surrounded by the ocean, but that was supposed to be better, maybe because it was warmer.
It would be like an open air sanatorium.
Sanatorium, yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
The dry heat, because it's very damp in the UK.
true. Yeah. I mean, fair point. I was just like you need to be by the ocean. It's like you're by the ocean.
I have a theory that his parents just put him on a boat to Africa and they were like, oh, he fucking made it. Like he got there.
but lucky for him, his other brother was already down there. So he had somewhere to go. But to add to the reason why I think his parents just kind of ditched him was because before he even was sent to Africa, he was recorded as living with his aunt anyway. Like right. the most recent census wasn't even him living with his parents. He was living with his aunt. And it's his aunt who sent him money. His parents didn't send him shit.
It's like, all right, son, we're going to put you on the boat. The boat's name, it's called the Unsinkable 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could just imagine his parents being like, he made it, but the box we put him in didn't have a breathing hole. Yeah.
He made it all the way to the Cape?
Oh, dang, honey, did we forget the breathing apparatus? Oh, yeah. Shoot, I guess we did.
Darn. You just picked up his cargo, and they're like, ah, damn it.
This fucker's still alive? Shit.
Shit. Oh, well, our other son's down there who apparently made it. He'll take care of him. I also just love that his brother, who's already South Africa, his name is Herbert, and together they just have the two fucking lamest names, like Cecil and Herbert, just freaking running around being assholes. So let's see, where was I? I don't really know what his brother was doing down there before. They just kind of go into business together. It's not like Cecil's like a child. Like he goes down there, he's like, he knows what's going on. Like he knows that he is gonna be working and something like that. So their first endeavor is cotton, but they pick a pretty shitty place that is just not suitable for cotton at all. So that thing immediately fails. So
how's that for foreboding? Considering right? How fucking racist he was.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I think he was 16 when he goes into South Africa.
Gotcha. Okay.
If I remember right.
That makes sense. He would have been dead already if it was TB, so it wasn't TB. right to your point, Lucy J, like, this guy's ultimate dream by this point, like, once he gets going to South Africa, his ultimate dream is a global British empire. Like, this is during Victoria age, so the empire is still somewhat around and prevalent, but, like, he wants, like, a global empire, but on his terms. Like, he doesn't want, like, the scrutiny and like the over the shoulder application that the previous British Empire has. He wants it all to be like individually governed, like by their own local governors that all like basically commune every now and then in London to talk about how great the British Empire is all over the world. Like,
I wish he died from a TB, but a TB would be a trident and a baseball bat.
I thought you were saying a tuberculosis, and I was like, what?
I wish you died from TB, a trident and a baseball bat that I use personally.
Why a trident?
You know, because it's got three prongs. It's fun.
Okay. Yeah, so that was like his ultimate goal. But the way he saw it was like bestowing the greatness of the British Empire and westernization on the rest of the world, like what you know, it's kind of like the premise for what like a lot of the Proud Boys think today. Like, mm-hmm. like westernization is great, and everyone else would be so lucky to do things the way we do it. Like mm-hmm. everything we do is right. Like it's exactly what he would have been a member immediately. Like he's literally the template.
I was gonna say he's like a founding father of
yeah. He's a template for everyone, every Trump supporter that we have today. just to the, maybe not for the British Empire part of it, but like the rest of it.
Didn't the Proud Boys get started over, it was like something to do with a rat?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. They are rats.
I mean, they are rats. No, yeah, of course. They're little jack-toothed pieces of shit, but
yeah.
I think that's how the Proud Boys started. Like, didn't they get founded by a rat?
By a rat, like a narc, like some guy who ratted out someone. Is that using
no, like a story of a rat,
like Splinter from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No, he's a legend. Stop that right there!
How dare you blaspheme?
Just a really secret dark past.
Yeah,
shame on you.
I'm pretty sure their leader, the guy who walked around with white claws in his fucking military vest all the time. I think he's Hispanic.
Well, their founder is like Gavin McInnes, right?
I don't know who that is, but like their like main like poster guy.
He's a piece of shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, with a name like Gavin McInnes, like how could you not be? So are you looking up the story?
Yeah, keep going though.
Okay, chime in when you got it, because I do want to hear it.
All right. Okay.
Where was I? Okay, cool. So the cotton shit fails pretty damn quickly, but they rebound. They immediately, they're like, what's better than cotton? Obviously, diamonds are better than cotton. So that's like their immediate thing is just diamonds. And he does, like, so they start a mining company. They start buying up local mine. Literally anything they get their hands on with like a little help from like financiers, they are buying up other mines and just quickly spreading and spreading and spreading. He does take a little bit of a break here to go study at Oxford for a little bit, but he's kind of awkward and unliked there just as much. Like, he never really fits in because he's just a pretentious piece of shit and, like, probably just keeps talking to everyone at parties, like, when everyone's drunk about how great the British Empire would be again and just, like, won't stop. So he does one term and then just goes back to South Africa. And by 1890... I think it was 1890. Yeah, they have literally monopolized the diamond trade, like globally. They own 80 to 90% of the diamond trade, which obviously means to, like, at that point they can influence the diamond economy as much as they want. They decide the prices. They can influx them. They can whenever they want. They can decrease the prices at their leisure. It's like the first pure definitions of a complete monopoly. And in their company is called De Beers, which I don't really get the name, but whatever. It's still around.
I got you on that one, buddy. I'll send that one.
Oh, cool. Do you want to go over it later or?
Yeah, later. Yeah.
Okay. So I might be treading a little bit on you, but I had this little blip. So the company is still around today. Obviously, they don't still control 90% of the trade, but they still control a good solid 30% of the diamond trade globally, which still gives them the ability to like influx prices whenever they really want to. And they have active mines in Botswana, Namibia, South Africa, Canada, and Australia currently today, which I think is pretty crazy that this thing is like his legacy is still enduring. But yeah, basically this is what that guy did. Like, they were so successful at this. He had, not only did he control like all the mines down there, but he had like teamed up perfectly with a British syndicate of diamond traders to like just ensure that it was global, and literally just like spent his time with like pocket diamonds and like just fucking talking everyone's ear off about like his great plans and like just walking around with like diamonds in his hand, just thinking like it was the coolest fucking thing ever.
Just like shaking around like almonds or something.
Yeah, like a fucking pocket of almonds. Like, who needs pockets? Like, pocket diamonds.
like when a dad carries around almonds and just shakes them around.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And this guy like could not, like, he just loved it. And like, those were just like, you know, his everyday diamonds, or whatever you want to call them.
Walking around diamonds.
Yeah. But I don't know if you cover this, EJ, but I didn't get to exactly how he got his own country. So he ended up like basically purchasing a giant set of land and named it after himself.
It's a really interesting story. I'm definitely going to get into that. It's the last vestige of my segment.
Oh, perfect. Then we'll just leave it at that. That's what I was afraid to like kind of tread on. How that came about. I think it's currently nowadays like Zambia or Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
Zimbabwe and Namibia. Is that a thing?
Zambia.
I think I kept reading Namibia on my notes and then like combining the two.
Jesus. Yeah. No. Mark's right. Yeah. Zambia. But yeah.
And Zimbabwe.
As always, for some reason, we always finish at the exactly perfect time.
Oh, I know. As in, like the meeting time cap. Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. Like, no, we always finish like no. It's more of like a collective mind kind of like transfer. Like for some reason, you always know where I'm gonna start. I always know where Mark's gonna start. It just always works out perfectly.
Yeah, it does work. Yeah, it ends up working out. That's literally all I've got. Like there's really not much else to his history. So,
it's definitely kismet for sure.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, and before like I just wanted to like the whole thing about just so I give credit where it's due, the pocket diamonds thing that I wasn't able to find that in like anything. I don't know if you guys saw it, but like I listened to another podcast about him a while ago called Behind the Bastards, and he did a two-parter on it, and that's where I got like where he talks about like his little freaking like pocket diamonds thing, like where I just thought it was hilarious, but I wasn't able to like actually find it written. But I just wanted to make sure like it didn't sound like I wasn't giving credit where it was. I know we don't usually list a lot of show notes, so I'm just putting that out there for credibility.
No plagiarism here.
Yeah, not taking credit for anything. I think the way I phrased it was exactly how he phrased it. So,
well, I think like I mean I base all my notes in not going deep enough to plagiarize, so I think we're fine.
No, yeah, I think we're fine. And like the only reason I even thought to even like put this out there is because I think just out of literal like the cosmos, CJ, I think you literally quoted him, like. By calling him walking around diamonds, I think is exactly how he put it. And I was just like, but you've never even listened to that podcast. So I was just like, I did not copy it. Like,
I mean, he's dead. We can say as much as we want. There's no such thing as libel when you're dead.
No, I'm not worried about Cecil. I'm talking about the other podcasts. Like,
oh, okay.
Much larger than us, and I don't need anyone boot coming down on us. Like,
but I'm saying that we can make up stories if you want to.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, yeah. We could say he could have butt diamonds. He could walk around with diamonds up his ass for all I know. Yeah. He's like, listen to me jingle.
I heard he had a special dildo made out of diamonds.
Mm. Ooh, yeah. Probably with a matching butt plug and studded condom that he never used.
Those are ass gems, okay? Don't speak badly of them.
Ass gems. It's all about the cap. Like you can see
the ass gems. Now we're infringing upon Kids in the Hall because they had ass pennies. That's pretty darn close.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break and then we will get back to like the rest of the actual bad shit he did other than monopolizing diamonds. So, okay.
Yay.
Hey guys, this is Cody and CJ from Justice Time Machine. Just doing another shout out for our buddy Eli who did our logo for the podcast. If you guys like what you saw with our logo and are looking for any kind of graphic design or logo work, he's really a reliable source to go to. It's ELIS_trashcan on Instagram. Really cool guy, really quick with his work and very talented. And you know, he'll work within your budget. He's very understanding and reasonable. Reach out to him if you guys need any work done. It's definitely worth it and have a good one. Go.
Hey, we're back.
Well, I mean, you could have said whatever you wanted. I didn't mean exactly that, but
welcome back to Justice Time Machine.
Well, I thought you were gonna say like what you said earlier. Like, what did you call them? Like
Welcome back, all you time travelers.
There you go.
Very nice.
All right. Well, regale us, CJ.
This evening, we're going back in time all the way back to 1853.
Sweet.
All right. So Cecil Rhodes, he was born Cecil John Rhodes, July 5th, 1853, which means his name is in fact... CJ!
Oh, God.
Yep. It is.
CJ Rhodes!
I didn't even catch that.
So, sorry in advance.
You know what's funny is I literally wrote down his middle name too, like on my show, like my notes, like Cecil John Rhodes, and I didn't even put that together, and I wish I had. Damn it.
We're going to have to change your name now.
Yeah.
No, he hasn't changed his fucking name. I'm fine. I'm not the racist piece of shit.
True.
Yeah.
He changes his name. He changes. Cock Johnson or whatever.
Cock Johnson.
Cock Johnson.
We'll call him Dick Dick for short.
Dick Dick.
Dick Dick. Yeah. Fuck you. I'm not changing shit. It's on you, pal.
I actually kind of like Cock Johnson. That's awesome.
Wait, should I change my name to Cock Johnson?
Yes.
Vehemently denies changing his name, and then the minute that Cock Johnson gets like a round of applause,
he's like, "Wait, good idea!"
Like, hey, I do as the people wish. I secretly
been thinking about it for years. Like,
let's take a poll on the Instagram.
Yeah,
we'll take an Instagram poll. Should CJ change his name to Cock Johnson? All right. Well, all right. As long as we're on the same page, that's important. Cool. All right, so he was a diamond man.
A diamond man.
Most famous for founding the De Beers Diamond Company after he and his business partner, Charles Rudd, believed that the diamond drought in 1874 and 1875 was merely a temporary drought, and he took over the struggling De Beers land. And it was a diamond farm in South Africa that he took over. So there was a diamond drought, but there was this argument against what land produced the most diamonds. And it was it the hard blue land or the soft yellow land? Like, so this piece of shit thought that maybe we should start mining the hard blue land, and he was absolutely right.
To the dismay of everybody else.
Yeah.
Talk about like wanting somebody to, like betting for somebody to fail. Like he didn't.
And also, I love how they refer to it as a diamond drought. It's like, oh, yes, the diamond drought, the most necessary resource we have none of. One of the few items on the earth that does nothing for anyone.
How will my family eat tonight without diamonds?
Exactly. Fuck.
So obviously, he had significant earnings from his strong bet with him and his business partner, Charles Rudd. So that brought him over to a life of politics. So in 1880, he entered the Cape Parliament, and by 1890, he was the prime minister of the South African Cape Colony. And it didn't take him long to show his true colors.
It never does.
Never does. 2 years later, he passed the Franchise and Ballot Act, which... raised the property franchise qualification from £25 to £75, meaning, and I'll explain this because I know it was very confusing for me too.
Yeah, please.
In order to be allowed to vote, you had to own a certain price of property. And it used to be £25, and he raised it to £75, which made it almost impossible for lower classes, either black or white citizens, to actually have a vote.
Well, yeah, you just tripled the cost. Like,
exactly.
Like, what the fuck?
So it was actually a direct violation of the original Constitution, and it was called the Responsible Government Act of 1872, which stated the right to vote was only £25 of property, and regardless of race. So if you had $25 to your name, you were allowed to vote.
Yeah, but for him, not black people.
Well, but let me finish.
Okay.
Because sorry. all he did was uproot the cost at this point.
Yeah.
And this was 2 years into his prime ministership.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't like being overtly racist right now.
Yeah. Okay. Not right now. But Cody, you're so right, because just give it another 2 years.
Oh, okay, great.
And he launched the Glenn Gray Act in 1894, and it limited the amount of land that Black people could own. So even if they could afford 75 pounds of land, they weren't allowed to own that much anyway.
Oh, what the fuck? So you literally can't win. Like, this is just like his like fucking like, I don't even know how to put it. Like his superiority complex, like of like, it's just like, why would you give anyone like this power?
So Cody, hang out.
Okay, cool.
He then created the Native Land Act in 1913, saying that Black Africans had to be held to just 10% land ownership in settlement areas out of the entire population of the Cape.
What?
Wait, so what year was that?
This is 1913.
But he died in...
You mean did he die?
He would die at that point.
He probably worked on it beforehand. Hold on.
Maybe he got passed posthumously. Like,
should I get some paper flipping on recording?
On mic, yeah.
Wait, what year did he die?
1902.
Okay, well, 1900. I'm sure he spearheaded this act thing.
He probably had it set up, yeah.
Or Mark, do you want to go the other way and say that maybe we're wrong about this guy?
No, I'm just my correction corner inner self just leapt out of my. I couldn't not say anything. Like
no, I'm just like, I find it weird because like he was born in 1953 and he died in 1902. Like, he wasn't even that old.
No, which I'll cover as well. But
Mark, you're right. Mark, he's a hero to South Africa. You're right. Sorry, I'm sorry.
No, but to your point though, CJ, he did put a lot of things in place that then ruined South Africa for years and decades to come. So
I would say probably by the end of his like tenure as prime minister, he probably had enough like constituents that like shit like this was gonna pass.
Yeah, this might have been like an aftermath of like the rules he put in place kind of thing. And
yeah, what was it called again?
It was called the Native Land Act.
I'm gonna look it up again.
Okay, all right.
No, it definitely got passed in 1913.
Was that another unification of some of the land that like I'm trying to remember from what I'd read.
Yeah, he definitely died in 1902. And the Native Lands Act was definitely in 1913. That's like, yeah, that's correct.
Those are cold hard facts.
Yeah, but. I mean, obviously, like, he's probably still responsible for it. This sounds like right up his alley and definitely in line with everything that he passed before. So, continue, CJ.
I don't want to anymore.
Okay.
Okay. If you're going to get caught up on years, I don't want to do this podcast anymore.
You're going to get caught up on history at this time machine.
You're going to get caught up on quote-unquote Max, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm kidding. Anyways, I still want to do it.
Okay, good.
So basically, before that happened, before he died in the late 1800s, sorry, Mark, you piece of shit, and then he invited all of his racist buddies from England and cut backdoor deals on land ownership with promises of investments in the diamond and mine trade. Mm. So it was the appropriation of South Africa from British colonization. Cecil's actions actually coined the term suppressio veri, which is Latin for pressing down of. Mm.
Sounds like he probably did to his wife.
Huh?
What?
Cody, what would you say?
It sounds like what he probably did to his wife.
He pressed it down.
Pressing down.
Was that the first like R&B song? Like, I'm gonna lay you down, girl. I'm gonna press you down, girl.
Press you down.
But suppressio veri is Latin for suppression of truth. Mm. So he used verbiage from British charters. So he stole British charter information to make rules for police and forming treaties that benefited himself, his mining industry, and his colonist pals, and he paid off anyone who would let him get away with anything.
Jeez. I thought you were going to call him a communist for a second. I was like, I don't think so, but...
No, I fixed it. Okay. Calling it.
We can't escape CJ's hatred for communism.
But the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree here, because it was still systemic racism at its core.
Of course, yeah.
So because of the significant influx of British colonizers in South Africa, they actually had to form their own police squad, which was called the British South African Police. So there were so many colonizers that they had their own police force in South Africa.
What, that could like, that only enforced colonizers? Like,
that supported the colonizers.
Oh, that only protected the colonizers.
Exactly.
And oppressed everyone else.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Weird. So this police force and a lot of other industrialists, they wanted to use the police force to take over an ancient gold mine of Shona. But okay. Shona didn't really produce a lot of gold, so they were really upset about that.
So offended.
They were like, I thought you said there was gold here. And the local natives were like, well, I mean, maybe, but like, fuck you too.
Yeah. Like, we found gold sometimes, like...
Yeah, it doesn't give you any right to fucking settle on our land.
Also, we don't really know what gold is. It has no monetary value to us.
It doesn't matter. You know what's great? You know what's really great? Goats. I fucking love goats.
Goats are sick. Like, we value things of meaning.
Yeah. Yeah, goat can make a lot of different things that gold cannot.
Sir. Yeah.
So the British settlers actually were forced to become farmers on their land.
Oh, boo. Darn.
So the locals one day looked up and they were like, who are all these white fucking devils farming our shit?
What is that in Asatura? Iquitziocha.
Iquitziocha.
Everywhere. So many of them.
Right. So there was these their wars that happened. It was the first and second Matabele Wars.
Matabele.
It was the first one was 1893 and the second one was 1896. Until Cecil Rhodes literally walked
armed into a battle and broke up the fight of the Second War. And this earned him a lot of like clout at this point. And thus,
he walked into the middle of a battle like himself?
Yeah. He walked into the middle of the battle.
Yeah, I think your headset died and then you all of a sudden got like clearer.
Oh, hello. How's it going?
Yeah. Welcome.
Is this better?
It actually is better. There was a distinct difference.
Is it really?
It was drastic. Like, okay. You all of a sudden, like, your voice, like, boomed all of a sudden.
Well, make me say something. Make me say something sexy and we'll figure it out.
I don't know. What's sexy? I don't know what people, I don't know what ladies like.
I like your footwear.
Tell me how hard you are.
Fantastic earlobes.
It's so droopy. I love the way they sag like my titties.
They're only going to get better going forward. It's one of the only things on your face that grows as you age.
And your nose.
Well, that, yeah, and your nose.
Okay, wait, so hold on. Okay, so none of that was sexy at all. You just tried to keep saying them sexy.
I was waiting for the sexy comment.
Yeah.
I thought this was a joke podcast. I thought I was supposed to be funny and not sexy.
No, you're supposed to be sexy all the time.
I'm supposed to be sexy all the time?
Yes.
I can't. I don't know if I can deal with the standard.
Okay. Sorry. Wait. I want to clarify. So this piece of shit who probably has never fucking slapped anyone, like mm-hmm. except for maybe a woman, but he walks into a battle, mm-hmm. like, and like thinks he's not gonna get shot and just walks in like, I'm fucking stopping this. Like,
well, basically, the British police at this point, the British South Africa police, they killed like a almost unkillable person, which was like a shaman at this point. So they almost like attacked the king of a tribe in a way.
So he was doing something good.
Yeah, and that's I have a really hard time with this. I know. I have a really hard time with this. And we walked into the battle unarmed and stopped them and literally said, like, hey, guys, like, stop. Let's figure this out.
That's such a fucking political play, though. He probably didn't give two shits.
And here, Cody, oh, my God, nail on the head again. Because okay. He's not a hero. He's a politician.
Yeah, demons. Also, don't hit women. That's awful. This guy just seems like someone who would hit a woman.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, of course. I don't need to be told. You know what the easiest thing I've ever done is? Never hit a woman.
I don't know why I pointed at you guys like I was telling you not to. It was more of a statement because I said, like, I said it and I was like, that's not what I meant, but I pointed at you, like, shame.
Yeah. You know how easy it is to not hit women? Really fucking simple, pal. Yeah.
Don't really do it. Easy. Yeah, I'm so good at not doing that. Like,
I'm a professional at not hitting women, for sure.
So proud of you.
Thanks, Cody. But you shouldn't be. It should just be natural.
True. That is very true.
Anyway, so he walked in, and that's how he got the title of, because he earned a lot of respect from that move. And that's how Rhodesia got named after him. So Rhodesia became.
I thought he just named it after himself because.
No, he had a lot of support from the locals as well.
What a piece of shit.
So.
He probably got super hard because of that.
Like, yeah. Where do we land on a fella like that just uses people for his own political prowess, his own monetary prowess, his own successfulness? And I think that's what we need to think of him as, is a user.
He's a user, yeah. Yeah, he's 100% a user.
Yeah, so
he's
sure.
Better word. He's, and he would love this, but he's a colonizer.
You know what he could have done with the De Beers farmland is he could have shared it with the actual ownership, but he didn't. He stole the name De Beers and he used that farmland because he knew something that the farmers didn't, which was that diamonds could be found on different parts of land. And he didn't tell them that. He just used it for it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an industry man and they're just fucking scum.
Well,
they were scum. Maybe they're better now. I don't know.
I read, you know, he would get the locals on side and use them in exactly as you're talking about, in a way that then would benefit him in the short term, but then ruin them in the long term. You know, he would get like the Afrikaners on side for certain things, but then when it came to the Boer Wars and particularly the second one, and he then realized that there was gold in Transvaal, it was like, I'm going to drop these people like a hot potato and move everything into, you know, making this happen so that I can claim more. Like, you know, he got tired of diamonds. Now he wants gold.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that's literally, I think him like literally down to a T, like he's use it and lose it. Like, doesn't matter. Like if it's a resource, a person, a town, you know, whatever, like it's until he's done with it. Like, and then it's trash. Like,
It's so weird to think of, like, I know free enterprise is really good, and I know capitalism has its own, you know, certain benefits. Merits.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, there's this quote from, like, the show Community, like, and it's a really sad truth, which is doing good is good and doing bad is bad. And it's as simple as that. Like, are your actions benefiting other people or just yourself?
Yeah.
And it's better to help other people than it is to just help yourself.
Yeah.
Just because it is morally, and it's that fucking simple. And it's sad, but it's like, it's the almighty truth. Helping other people is good, and helping just yourself is bad.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we need to think about when we think about Cecil Rhodes, is because he never thought about anybody but himself and his own enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, not even counting the fucking racist bullshit that this guy was involved
in. Yeah, even that aside, he still sucks.
Being bad is bad and being good is good. I'm sorry. That's the end of the fucking shit.
Even also, there's a third thing that fits in there because of this guy, is helping someone else just to help yourself is mm-hmm. also bad.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Like you talk about how he like walked into that battle because like a shaman was killed. It's like, yeah, that was really good for the locals and everything, but like it was all a power play.
Yeah. He didn't do it for the locals. He did exactly. It so he could have his own fucking territory in his own namesake of Rhodesia.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, it's manipulation. And
exactly, Cody.
Yeah, it's one of those cop-out things. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, I did it for me, but like, look what I did for other people. It's like, no, dude, your intentions are still evil.
Right.
Like, yeah, like you knew exactly what you were doing, and that inherently makes it bad.
Fuck politicians.
Yeah, you can't forever. Trust them. Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. Which is, you know, pretty suiting because tomorrow's Star Wars Day, and we all know the major politician of that is Palpatine, and he's really evil.
What's that old like bumper sticker? There was like these old bumper stickers of like the tankards that used to fill like liquid shit from porta potties, and they would have bumper stickers on them that said, "This tank is full of political promises."
Mm.
And it's just like full of shit.
Yeah.
Like they don't work for you. They work for themselves.
And their constituents, and that's literally all they care about. Like it's all they will ever care about. They say they care about the voters. They don't. They care about the people who are literally paying them because they don't have a real job. They get paid by the people who fund their campaigns.
But they get paid by us, the taxpayers, as well. Well,
that too, but like we're just a small portion of it. Like we're not giving them a random investment of $1 million every now and then to fucking run an ad. Like, so.
Six Emperor Tyrannus.
Yep. All right.
Do you guys want me to drive a stake through this guy's heart?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, fucking kill this vampire, motherfucker. I'm into it.
All right, I'm going to round us out and
All right,
bring it home.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll get back for the staking. Okay, bye.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Justice Time Machine. We appreciate it very much so. I want to take this opportunity to also appreciate another person. I hope that line of logic followed. His name is Johnny Niddle, and he is the person responsible for doing all of our music. He did our theme song, he does all the transitions, and we couldn't be happier with his work. We think it's like absolutely wonderful. It's one of the greatest things that's happened to our podcast since it started. It's actually sounding much more professional and just all around better. So you should absolutely give me your business. Go to johnnyrk.com. That's Johnny RK, JohnnyRK.com. Or you can find him on all social media at Johnny RK. Go to Johnny Niddle, give him your money. He deserves every penny. Thank you, Johnny, and we'll see you next time.
Great.
All right, let me just get settled here.
Okay. It pulls in nice and close.
Come in.
Mark come closer. In. Mark closer.
In the words of CJ, let's record that thing that we do.
That thing that we do.
Isn't that like a Tom Hanks movie or whatever? That thing we do?
I don't know.
Or is it Colin Hanks? I don't know.
So, I don't know. Never heard of
one of the Hanks.
One of the Hanks is.
Yeah, so I'm gonna take a moment here to discuss Cecil Rhodes, because that's what we've been doing for two previous segments. So I thought
two other moments.
I thought that this would be a good time to follow on from that.
Okay.
So
Interesting.
Good choice.
It's a bit out of left field, I know, and not what you were necessarily expecting.
It's a bit off kilter, Mark, but let's see where this goes.
Let's see. So, as I was going through my research, I found an extract from a British history textbook. That I would have, it's a syllabus that I would have taken. I studied the Boer War, and I remember learning bits about him. And I thought it was really interesting as a bit of a juxtaposition between what I knew you guys were obviously going to say and what I was going to say. So this textbook summarizes Cecil Rhodes in four distinct bullet points. He was the most important empire builder in Africa. His De Beers company created diamond mines in South Africa. Cecil Rhodes gained new colonies for Britain in South Africa, and Rhodes used his wealth to build railroads and telegraph lines in Africa. So that's
fucking hate every bullet point.
Hold on, Mark. Was there also a fifth one that said, if you ever have the chance, suck his dick?
Like, it's so glorifying. Like,
That's the British syllabus teaching the history of Cecil Rhodes.
Wow.
So what I wanted to do was now
from
follow
Victorian
that
Victorian England.
Yeah, in a textbook that clearly hasn't been updated since 1918. So I wanted to follow up with a quote, a direct quote from Cecil Rhodes, which if I was to make a history textbook about him, this is what I would start off with. Cool. And maybe end with. This is in his own words. I contend that we, white Englishmen, are the first race in the world, and that the more of the world we inhabit, the better it is for the human race. Just fancy those parts that are at present inhabited by the most despicable specimen of human being. What an alteration there would be in them if they were brought under Anglo-Saxon influence. If there be a God, I think that what he would like me to do is paint as much of the map on Africa British red as possible.
Did he not have like wordly.com or whatever, like, to shorten his sentences?
Well, no, there was too much to say. I also vomited in my mouth and shit my pants at the same time.
But shit him. Yeah,
vomit shit. I read that exact same thing, and I was gonna write it down in my notes, and I was like, you know what? I think one of the guys are gonna get this, and I'm just gonna leave it for them. And I'm glad I didn't have to read it.
I mean, honestly, I'd say history textbook, I would just print that piece of paper and slide it into everyone's syllabus.
I'd slide it into everyone's bathroom, Mark, and use it as toilet paper. That's the fucking dumbest shit I've ever heard out loud.
Yeah,
it's heinous. It's totally heinous. And I think it's fair to say that he was probably one of the first people in modern history that used kind of the unique combination of industrial expansion, wealth, and politics, because there probably wasn't really anyone before him that kind of had their hand in all three of those things.
Yeah.
Which gave him, you know, this greater sense of notoriety, right? And he just used it to amplify his white supremacy views, as we just heard. Like, it was a platform for him. And I think we should all think of him as a 20th century Donald J. Trump. I think that's the easiest way to picture this guy.
I think that's a good assessment.
Mark, oh my God. I've been trying so hard to make that, like, to not make that correlation.
I mean, I already did in the first part. Like,
but it's so true. It's a rich man using his wealth to expand his own ideals, and his ideals are never successful. But the difference is that this man was a businessman that was actually good at business.
He was good at it,
in the sense that he bought those mines, like you were saying, at a time when he went against the market, which is like always a risky strategy. It's like people that bought Bitcoin, the first time around. They got Bitcoin, and now, and then the market dropped, and now it's back up to like $30,000.
I'm not even talking about that.
I'm
talking about Donald J. Trump stakes. I'm talking about Donald J. Trump University. I'm talking about Donald J. Trump ties. I'm talking about fucking Donald J. Trump casinos. They've all failed.
He's
the worst businessman on the planet.
He owes a lot of money.
Right. Which, yeah, you're right. You're right. He, this, in a lot of respects, Cecil Rhodes was actually more successful, but he also got involved in politics when no one was asking him to. So,
like Donald Trump. But we're lucky this guy didn't get like what he really fucking wanted. And like he had this ultimate side dream of like making a railroad that connected the Cape to fucking Cairo.
That's right. He wanted to run a railroad through.
Like that would have just fucking spelled disaster.
Right. So yeah, so he died in 1902, age just 49, which is marginal justice. He didn't live like Al Khomeini and fucking all these other people that we've covered that like lived until their later days, you know?
Yeah, true.
In like senior citizen status, at least. So the day following his death, there was an outpouring of condolences sent from across the globe to the British Empire, and a private service was held in Cape Town, where none other than Rudyard Kipling, author of The Jungle Book, read out a poem that he had written about Cecil Rhodes.
He's
at the
also
service.
A piece of shit. We probably should do an entire episode on Kipling, because he's also a fucking scumbag.
It's true.
Yeah.
But not everybody was so sad to see him go. And I found this fucking incredible article printed in The Guardian at the time that kind of fittingly said, "The judgment of history will, we fear, be that he did more than any Englishman of his time to lower the reputation and to impair the strength and compromise the future of the empire." Which I think is like...
Compromise the empire?
Yeah, compromised it.
He loved the empire.
Well, that's the thing, though, because it's a stark, that in itself is a stark contrast to the excitement he seemed to cause at the end of the 1800s, where people were like loving everything that Cecil Rhodes did. And then in true historical fashion, everything has now kind of come full circle finally. So Cody, you mentioned that they're finally taking down statues. So in April 2015, a statue of Rhodes was finally removed from the University of Cape Town. And then, and that was basically put together by a student-led campaign with the hashtag Rhodes Must Fall, which
that's kind of cool. Yeah.
That's fucking great.
That's all well and good, but at the same time, like calling yourself an empire is the same thing as calling yourself a hero. Like you're just not supposed to do it.
You mean the British Empire calling themselves an empire?
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
Oh yeah, but this was like this is 1902. It was the British Empire.
Don't call yourself an empire, fucking gross, dude.
Well, I mean, in 1902, they were still the only currently existing empire.
But like you're not supposed to admit it.
Oh, that's not their style.
Be humble.
No, that's they don't know the meaning of the word.
I would love CJ to go back in time and tell Queen Victoria to be humble.
No, she'd fucking slap you right in the face.
I know, I'll slap her back. I don't give a fucking shit.
I just
admitted to never hitting a woman, so I wouldn't.
I was just about to say.
If you guys want, we don't have to, but I looked it up. I looked up the poem that Kipling read at Cecil's funeral.
Do you want to hear it? Yeah.
Well, do you want to play us out with it, Cody? Because
let's do it at the end. Yeah.
Okay. So in 2015, they removed his statue from the University of Cape Town. And then last year in June 2020, Oxford College in London also agreed to the removal of his statue.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of come, like I said, full circle to people thinking, hang on a second, this guy was the absolute worst. So everything that we touched upon, and no one said it in their sections, which I'm kind of glad now that we're here. But so with all of his like health issues, he actually had his first heart attack at the age of 19.
Oh, wow. So he was sickly.
He really was sickly. And he was told at that point that he had just 6 months to live.
Oh, shit.
So from that,
from an 1800s doctor, so whatever.
Right. Yeah, you can put the leeches on him.
Yeah. Bloodletting. Cures everything.
Put him back in the stocks. But I think from that, like being told that he had just 6 months to live, came this internal view that he was living on borrowed time. So it made him very impatient with his goals in life, as well as with other people. And as we kind of heard from you, particularly CJ, in your section, you know, he became a man of action. It was all about getting ACT pass and, you know, doing what he could to acquire more minds. And his motivation and his inspiration was his obsession with creating a sense of legacy, which I think he viewed as like immortality, right? Because he was kind of afraid that at any moment he was going to drop dead and would do so, you know, titleless and unimportant. I don't think he was an imperialist. I don't think he was a patriot, truthfully. I think he was a fucking Nazi. And I think if you fed adventure capitalist Scrooge McDuck a ton of cocaine and set him loose on the South African plains, you'd get Cecil Rhodes.
Scrooge McDuck.
I mean, he's got the bill for it.
I would have argued.
Doug can do a shitload of cocaine.
Yeah, that's true. I would have argued imperialist. He definitely, I don't think it was, you know, he wasn't a patriot. I don't think he really gave two shits at the end of the day. He definitely, I think, was an imperialist, but I don't think it was for the British Empire. I think it was just for himself. Like,
right. No, that's the thing. And yeah. He would tell the British government what they wanted to hear,
yeah.
But then sort out the control piece, and in terms of how the British Empire was expanding in South Africa, he wanted to do that by his own means.
Well, it's like it's like what I was saying in the beginning, like, yeah, he wanted a global British Empire, but he didn't want it under their thumb. He was like, oh, just let like the regional governors do their thing, and then we'll have a meeting every once in a while.
Right. Well, I can't believe that neither of you commented on it, but he wanted to bring America back under the British Empire. That was like one of his biggest pipe dreams.
Yeah, I kind of just lumped that in with like the global part.
Like, Mark, I don't respect my government or your government any like at all.
Our government is his government.
I don't.
But yeah, I'm paying taxes here.
I don't give a shit about our government. They're civil servants. Like, we pay them to serve us, and they're not doing their fucking jobs. So why would I trust them or have any sort of like emotional fucking value towards them? I don't give a fuck about them. I don't give a fuck about your government.
But to Mark's point, like, yeah, like one of Sissel's like pipe dreams was like, we're going to reconquer the United States and like bring it back.
He was delusional.
Yeah, he was completely delusional.
It's weird to think that I have or Cody and I have a predilection to our own government. No, fuck them. I don't give a fuck about them.
He wasn't saying that we did.
I know, but it's weird to say like, oh, you're at stake to get like absorbed by them. I don't give a fuck.
Well, we also
didn't. No, I'm more talking about how crazy that Cecil Rhodes was in terms of like, he clearly was a man that, you know, acquired and got what he wanted, and then it was like more. So it's like, okay, if we bring South Africa under the British Empire, which he successfully made happen, you know, then it was like, okay, well, fucking America escaped us. They're the one that got away.
Yeah.
You know, that's the ex-girlfriend I'm still in love with. Let's bring her back.
We'll get it the third time.
Behind door number three.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You never bring the ex back. That's the rule.
Well.
You guys broke up for a reason.
Yeah.
That's true. But another one of his pipe dreams was... And this scarily reminded me of last week's episode with Himmler, because Cecil Rhodes wanted to produce a secret elite of white Anglo-Saxon men.
Mm.
That was like, that was another one of his pipe dreams. And the funniest thing about this, as I was like writing down my notes, was how much of a fallacy that is, because Rhodes considered himself to be a part of a master race, when in fact he was a thin and sickly looking piece of shit with a bum ticker.
A bum ticker.
Like, yeah. He was
his heart was shaped like a butt.
A butt ticker.
And it ticked in the wrong place, CJ.
Yeah, he's literally like the child that, like, the master race, quote unquote, never shows anyone. Like, yeah.
All he contributed was heart farts with his bum ticker.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he was the father of apartheid, which came, you know, slightly later, but he laid a lot of the fucking groundwork, and there is quite simply nothing masterful about that. And CJ, you made a really, I liked what you were saying about kind of good is good and, you know, evil is evil, because I read this quote that like came from the same 1902 Guardian article that I mentioned before. And it made me visualize what Rhodes was doing in South Africa. And it says, of course, all this knowledge and this power are neither good nor bad morally in themselves. They are like a ladder that must be used to save a child from a burning building or to commit a robbery. And if you think of it like that, Rhodes used that ladder to pillage and plunder his way through Africa, when actually what he could have done, and I think one of you guys mentioned, you know, said it before, he could have done the right fucking thing. He was a clever guy. He had, you know, a business mindset. He had all the opportunities to do the right thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If his interests were anywhere other than in himself.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like CJ said it earlier about, like, should we be blaming his parents? I'm also gonna now blame the fucking doctor who said he had 6 months to live. Because maybe he shouldn't have. Maybe he wouldn't have fucking rushed through fucking everything in life and thought a little bit more,
or just fucking get it right next time.
Yeah,
he was a millionaire the late 1800s. By the time he was 30, and by those standards, I read he would have been a billionaire, you know, the equivalent of
easily
today.
Easily. Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of these fucking dragons just sitting on his fucking mound of money.
Hey, Smaug. Cool.
There was, you guys did an episode on King Leopold, and that was happening in right. That was like 1908. So there was other European countries in Africa doing, and they had already been for fucking centuries anyway. And so it's, you know, some people say that Cecil Rhodes is like a scapegoat for the race for Africa, or, you know.
No, he's not a
there
scapegoat.
There were seven other European countries trying to take, and it's like, no, he was, like I said before, I think he had the opportunity to fucking improve things, if anything.
No one's a fucking scapegoat, because everyone had the opportunity to do good and they didn't. Literally right after him, fucking Leopold did the same fucking thing just to the north. Fucking scapegoat. That's just fucking, you guys want to hear this poem?
Give us the quote.
Okay. Well, it's not going to be as nice as the nice little poems that CJ leaves us with sometimes.
Wait, hold on, Mark, like at the end of this, do you want to do like a big fart noise or something like that to set it off?
Just to close out?
We'll close out with like two big fart noises.
One after the other.
Yeah. You go first, I'll go second.
Okay.
All right. Cody, go ahead. All right.
But let me read it. You're not going to like the first two sentences, but hold it back. Okay.
It's okay.
So this was Kipling's poem called The Burial at the funeral for Cecil Rhodes. When the great kings returned to clay, or emperors in their pride, grief of day fill a day because its creature died. But we reckon not with those whom the mere fates ordain. This power that we wrought on us goes back to the power again. I'm going to say again because it sounded cool. I think that's how he would have rhymed it. Dreamer devote, by vision led, beyond our guess or reach, the travail of his spirit bred. Cities in place of speech, so huge the all-mastering thought that drove, so brief the term allowed, nations not words he linked to prove. his faith before the crowd. It is his will that he look forth across the world he won, the granite of the ancient north, great space washed with sun. There shall be patient take his seat, take this seat, sorry, as when death he dared, and there await a people's feet in the path that he prepared. There till the vision he foresaw, splendid and whole arise, and unimagined empires draw to counsel neath his skies. The immense and brooding spirit still shall quicken the control. Living he was the land, and dead his soul shall be her soul.
Shut the fuck up. No gods, no kings, only justice.
Boom.
It's just like, he literally, like, it's a nice poem, but like, it was literally like praising Cecil as like some fucking king over the land, that the land was retaking its son. Like, right. It's just like, fuck off, bro. Like, he wasn't a deity.
Dude, you're not my fucking boss. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. It was longer than I thought it was, too.
He was beautiful, and he pronounced it wonderfully.
Eloquently read.
Thank you. It was kind of hard. Every time I got to a new line, I was like, oh, shit, I don't know how to rhyme this. It was getting kind of hard.
Cody, you did great. That was a tough one. Good job.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Yeah. It's just like, I knew the meaning behind it. It just like, it was just icky to read. But, icky. All right. Icky. All right, guys.
That's our new saying. And justice for all. Fucking sign out.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for another episode. Find us at Justice Time Machine at Instagram and at Gmail. I think that's all we're on. I don't know. I forget. Maybe. Yeah.
Send us more fan mail.
Yeah. Send us more stuff. Anything. Yeah. All right.
Suggestions.
Yeah, feedback. Feedback's always good. Feedback's nice. As long as it is nice. So, no bad.
As always, I'm CJ.
I'm Cody.
I'm Mark.
All right, bye.